Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hello, everyone, wonderful mamas. I am here today and very excited to share this amazing guest with you. Her name is Catherine Basu, and she is the owner of Fit Armadillo, the fitness company that helps you enjoy fitness at your place and at your pace through live online one-on-one personal training and private yoga sessions. She's passionate about helping busy women fit fitness into their lives so that they have more energy to enjoy what really matters. And you guys, this woman is amazing, and I met her in person when I flew what I felt like was across the world this fall to Western Canada. And we were at an event together, and she just has an amazing energy and just this huge desire to help busy women. But I saw in her this big desire to help busy moms. So welcome, Catherine. We're so excited to have you here today.
Oh, thanks so much, Mia. It's an honor to be here and chatting with you. So thanks for having me.
Oh, so tell us a little bit about your story and your journey. I know briefly about your sister having a baby and you being able to help her. So tell us how you got into all this to begin with.
Yeah, should I go way back, like how I got into fitness or
Yeah. Tell us all of it.
See how far you want me to go. Well, yeah, I mean, the reason why I ask that is that, you know, I think sometimes people are intimidated by personal trainers. I know when I go to networking events here and, you know, there aren't usually healthy snacks. So people will be eating maybe a cupcake or something. And then I say I'm a personal trainer and they're kind of trying to hide. But, you know, I really want people not to be intimidated by myself or other trainers because, you know, especially for myself, I didn't start out loving what I would say my first experience with fitness, and I think many of us is gym class. I was really not into it. If you told me in kindergarten I'd be in the gym for most of my 20s, I probably would have, you know, run away from home and tried to find a better life then. But so I think it's important, you know, I was able to find fitness through running, actually. And I just always feel really blessed that I found it because I feel like it's had a big impact on my life beyond just, yeah, I was able to get into it before I was worried about, you know, losing weight or fitting into my skinny jeans, but I've found that it has so many other benefits. So I'm really passionate about helping women find those benefits, you know, that I was kind of fell into, even though I grew up, you know, not really enjoying gym class sharing that with them. So that's kind of the background, I guess, of, you know, not really being into fitness and finding running and falling in love with that, and then, you know, expanding into other forms of fitness. And I think, and really trying to have my business help women that were like me before I found running that, you know, might be afraid to get started or don't really see a benefit and find it hard to fit in. And then, yeah, you did mention, so I've had my own business for about 3 years now. I've been in fitness since 2007. So I've been around, I've been in lots of different facilities and seen a lot of things, but worked with clients online. And then my sister had her baby, almost going to be a year old now, back in April.
Wow.
So, yeah. And, you know, she wanted me to help her get back in shape. But she lives over in Australia and I'm here in, Houston, Texas, and she just had the baby and she, you know, I'm not a mom yet myself, but I know a little more than she knew at the time because I do have mom clients. And she's like, you know, okay, well, we're going to start up. I want to make sure I'm in shape when I get back to visit everyone in the States. And, you know, I can do 5 o'clock and I'm kind of like, I don't know if you're really going to be able to commit to doing that same time every day, but, you know, just let me know. We'll make it work. And you know, of course, those of you who have had a newborn know that, you know, it's not really your schedule anymore. It's the baby schedule. So what we did was she would text me when, you know, she finally had the baby down for a little bit, and then we would get on Skype and do a workout together, and it worked really well for her. And I thought, you know, I've worked with moms a lot before, but I really wanted to help other moms like my sister who wanted to, you know, get back into things as soon as possible, but you know, can't really bring a newborn to the gym. You know, it can be kind of, you know, hard to get back into it when you have that situation. So, you know, but wanting to be a good role model for her daughter from the beginning. So that's kind of how we've expanded to now I have a team of trainers where we offer more last minute booking. So people can actually book with 30 minutes notice, with their trainers. So they can, you know, there's no schedule too busy that we can't accommodate, whether it's for, you know, moms with a new baby or just, you know, I mean, everyone's so busy these days, right? So
yep.
That's kind of our thing.
And so, yeah. and how did it work with her? Will you tell us like a little bit about her journey and how did she fit it in? Was she able to show up every day at 5 or did it turn out a little bit different?
Yeah. So the idea of exactly at 5, no, but that's what we did. We did the Skyping and we would meet once a week. So once, you know, and I tell clients, you know, ideally if you can get strength training in. So usually what I do with clients, people do ask this too, is, you know, what is personal training? What do you do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I have clients here in person in Houston where we might be training for a race and they want to run with me. But when you're doing it on Skype, it's, you know, we're doing more strength training instead of the running or the cardio together. You could do like a cardio interval, but for some of the other activities, mostly we do strength training. So ideally 3 times a week is great, but doing it twice a week is good getting started, and you could do that with your trainer or, you know, one with the trainer and repeat the workout. So that's what my sister and I did. She, you know, we'd meet for one session a week, and then she would do it on her own. I'd kind of just check in, especially since she's my sister, just to make sure if she had any questions before the second time. But yeah, it went well, and she was able to come back, you know, when she visited everyone a few months later, was back to her, you know, pre-pregnancy weight and feeling good and having more energy. And so yeah, that's
amazing.
She did really well.
And so how much time do you tell people that they have to put in? I feel like so many people say, I know I have to exercise. And then if you wake up and it's not the first thing you do, the day sort of passes you by, and you know, and then you say, well, if I don't have an hour, it's not worth it. Like, how much time do you feel like a person has to put in every day to reap the benefits?
Yeah, so 2 things I'd say. So with my sister and I and a lot of our clients, we do 30-minute workouts for the strength routine. So, mm-hmm. And the strength, you know, the reason we often don't think about strength training as important, but that's what keeps your metabolism up is, you know, preserving that lean muscle tissue in your body, which strength training does. And it has lots of benefits beyond that, but that's kind of the hook to get women started. But so yeah, just 30 minutes twice a week. And then, you know, trying to get cardio in again, 30 minutes, most days, which could be walking. And, you know, you're saying like, well, if I don't get it in first thing, we've actually found that this, you can have the same benefits of a full 30 minute walk as if you broke that down into smaller segments. So, you know, even if you get up in the morning and get a 10-minute walk in the morning and then 10 minutes at lunch and 10 minutes in the evening, then you still hit that goal, but you just, you know, kind of work around a busy schedule. So,
and it counts
doesn't have 3 hours.
And it counts when your baby's on you, right? So if you go on a walk, yeah, totally. Okay. And will you tell us a little bit of an example of, so the idea of strength training sounds really cool, but also sounds really overwhelming. And I just think of people lifting weights. Like, so will you tell me what it really means?
Yeah. So, I mean, anything, you know, using some resistance with your body, which could even be, you know, your baby, right? So, you know, you don't need to have a full gym to be able to get the benefits of strength training. You know, good exercises that don't even have to use any weight are things like push-ups, which women are always afraid of, but women always tell me they want to, you know, stop their arms from jiggling when they, you know, after they wave. So they also work your triceps. So it's a really good one that you don't have to do on the floor. A lot of people try to modify them on their knees, but the better way to do it to also engage your core still, you know, your abs, is to do it on an elevated space. So like put your hands on a sturdy desk, so that your upper body is a little elevated, and that'll engage the core a little bit more. And you know, the closer you get to the ground, the more difficult it will be. But push-ups are great. You don't need anything but yourself. And if you want, you know, like want to modify it, you could use a little bit of a step or a desk. Squats, lunges, planks. I really encourage people to do planks versus crunches because they're more of a functional type exercise. You don't really go through the day like in a crunching motion, but we do need to support our body in the way that, you know, have that nice posture that a plank helps us do. So those are some good exercises that are going to be that resistance, but no equipment.
Cool. I love that. And if you think about it, you could just do that for like 10 minutes, right? Like, I mean, I know that we're supposed to do it for half an hour, but it seems like there's so little time in the day, yet so much to do those kinds of little things throughout the day.
Yeah. And another quick tip for your listeners, we try to do opposing muscle groups. So something for like your chest, like would be that push-up. And then you could do, even with your baby, there's an exercise called a wood chop where you're like lifting something up, but it could be a baby, you know, up high on one side and then down towards the other side on the floor, kind of diagonally across the body. That would work really, that one's for the whole body, but more the back as well. So those are two that are more opposing muscle groups. So you can do your push-ups, do the wood chop, 10 reps of each back to back, do that 3 times in a row. That would take about 10 minutes, but then you've gotten the upper body. And then later in the day, you could do 10 minutes of, lower body exercises. So similar to that. So yeah, definitely you can sneak it in and it would still have the same benefit as doing it all at once.
That's great. That's so good to know. And then, I'm always telling people just add it into your calendar, just like 10 minutes. So that you get like a little, literally a reminder in your phone that it's time, which I know has helped me a lot. So running is something that I've personally always had a love-hate relationship with, though there was a time when I first got into this whole food thing where I had this goal to run, I think it was a 8K, which probably isn't that much, but seemed like so much to me. And so I remember training for it and feeling so good, and I'm not quite there right now by any way, shape, or form. It's funny because running feels like I broke my wrist last year and had to get surgery and I couldn't run. And it feels like one of those things that really does, like it's not like riding a bike where you just start where you left off.
Right.
You kind of have to build it up again. So tell us a little bit how you did that, because I know that's an important part of your journey. So if someone's wanting to run and feels like walking is the max, what can we do?
Yeah, well, you have to realize it takes at least usually we say like 8 to 10 weeks to really build up that base where you have that cardiovascular fitness. So the first thing is just stay with it, because it's going to take, you got to commit to it for it to feel easier where you're back in that groove. But you were describing it, it does take a few weeks to get there. So definitely stick with it and don't feel bad about, doing walk and run intervals. So, get out there. I like to tell people to start, if you can block off a mile route or, where you could try that and see, I'm going to walk the mile today, see how long that takes me. And then over the course of that, first week, see if you can get that time shorter by adding a little bit of more running in over time. Cause that's, that wouldn't take you more than half an hour, even when you're walking, but it would be a good thing that you can judge. And then, kind of going from there, adding more distance from that mile, but something that's achievable where you're not, okay, I got to get that 8K in starting today. I'm going to be practicing. But yeah, I don't feel ashamed. One thing I love that we've actually, I'm trying to get more of my fans and clients to use, partly so I can spy on them, but but also to help them, is so there's this great app called Charity Miles, and it's a free app, and you just turn it on with your phone, and you can pick out of lots of different great charities that you're sponsored. There's different companies that will sponsor your miles, but it's for running or walking counts the same. So I think it's kind of good where, I know I have days where I'm like, I got to get, a run in, or I have to get, the walk in, and I want to get so many miles in. But if you're injured or you're not feeling that great, I really like that app because you're still able to contribute as much. You feel like you're giving back to something that runs more about you. But you don't have to be like running the whole time to feel like it matters. So that's a really good one.
And is that a good app? Because I was just about to ask you, how do you know, like, what's a good way to know that you've gone a mile?
Yeah, so that one will do the GPS. So it'll tell you that you've done a mile. I love if people are really getting into running. I like having a nice, sports watch. My favorite's the Polar. I love Polar watches. Actually, people love the Fitbit, but I know they have a newer model that's supposed to be more accurate, but I haven't tried it out. But the older models with the heart rate monitors are just from the wrist aren't really that accurate. So I really like Polar products more. And the one I use right now, it's a year old now, so they have fancier ones, but I like the M400. because it has like that little activity tracker for the day, which is really good because it's, which a lot of other watches have, like the Fitbit, where you know if you've reached your goal, so there's kind of that bar going along. And then it also does the GPS, so you can see, you know, what are your lap splits. You can get some good data there, so you could share that with your trainer or just follow it yourself. And then you can upload the map so you can see, you know, if you wanted to know, like, just for your own reference, how far the distance was, and just have that, all that data for yourself. So I really like that watch. And it also has a little alarm that goes off if you're sitting for too long, which I think is just an hour. So, because I know I've been driving sometimes and I'm like, oh, I can't really get up and walk around right now.
But yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. And but and so, so when you're sort of growing your running practice and you start with that mile, do you feel like, do you figure out how to run that mile with ease? Like, how do you know when to keep, to move to the next thing, like the 2 miles, or what is the sign that you're ready to sort of push yourself a little more? Because I know it's from my experience, it's easy to just sort of get into the same habit, which is awesome because at least you're doing it. But then at some point I'm like, all right, I need something different. I think my body needs something different. And when do you feel like you know to do that?
Yeah, and the mile is like it's a very, you know, small goal. I mean, you could, if people have more time, they could even try to do a 3 mile space where, knowing that if you're starting out, that could take you an hour or more if you have to walk the whole thing. But we do kind of, when we do a running routine, we talk about progressing the distance first, then the speed, and then the resistance.
Okay.
So once you get that distance of a mile that you could do running the whole time versus having to walk at all, then you would want to increase the distance a little bit. And, you know, I would say that based on the amount of time you have to try to do the run, but it could be up to trying to get, you know, 2 miles in is not that much further, especially if you let yourself walk part of it. So yeah, distance would be first, and kind of like I described with the mile, like trying to get that whole mile in, even if you have to walk for part of it, slowly adding, more running into that. And then, once you have that, you're running the whole time, going back and, you know, well, technically you could increase the resistance, so you could be doing that. You could add some hill workout to that mile, but then going back and kind of repeating that again, doing a little bit longer distance, then increasing the speed for that distance, so trying to add more running versus walking. And then finally, if you want, you know, usually the resistance part is something you do like once a week. You get some hill workouts in, and or if you had a treadmill, you know, adding the resistance there, but not doing that until you've gotten been able to do that whole distance at the speed that you are looking to do it at. So yeah, that makes sense. Kind of trying to do more distance, then, you know, increasing the speed at that distance. So more running versus walking, and then resistance from there.
So if you have time and you're not quite a long distance runner yet, it's better to walk 4 miles than run 1 if you have the time. Okay.
I'd say, you know, whatever you could do in like a, you know, like 30 minutes of cardio is good, even if it's walking. So if you have the time to do that, so you could even start off and see, if people have more time, then maybe the better tip would be is to, like the mile, I like doing that for like the first week or two, because otherwise it's very overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can go and see, okay, I have a half an hour of time, I'm going to go maybe even just out for 15 minutes, however long it takes me to get about 15 minutes out, and then, you know, turn around,
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so kind of trying to build up the speed of that 30-minute segment.
And tell us so you mentioned a treadmill, which takes us back to the gym, which it's funny because I actually do work out, but I do sort of notice that I look at the ground as I pass personal trainers, and I don't know why, but that's kind of funny. But I am there a lot. But I'm there right now because we have snow on the ground, and it's kind of lethal to do anything.
Oh yeah.
At a fast pace outside. But is there a difference in, I mean, obviously there's like I think there's a psychological difference in running outside and on a treadmill, but is one easier or harder to learn how to be a good runner on?
I know they always are debating this. I always see, like, you know, I'm certified through the American Council on Exercise, so there'll always be different articles that they even have. Personally, I think that, you know, really, I think, okay, so the treadmill is good for less impact. So if you only can run on pavement all the time. That could be a way that you know, you don't have to always be running on pavement, especially if you're starting out, because you could easily overdo things when you're starting out and give yourself shin splints, especially if you're running on like a really hard surface. It's not forgiving. So I guess, you know, starting the treadmill could be good and you have all the data there. But I think it really comes down to the mental part. And for me, like, it's just, and a lot of beginners find that they like the treadmill better. But for me, I know like what speed I want to be at. And if I'm not hitting that on the treadmill, you know, I might push myself beyond what I really should be doing at that point. And then I'm not always so motivated, whereas like outside I can, you know, have more motivation by being surrounded by nature. So I think you have to ask yourself, you know, where are you going to be more motivated for that run to figure out if it's going to be a good spot for you.
It's interesting. I bet it is harder to listen to your own sort of internal limits on the treadmill. I can see that because I can see those numbers and be like, I'm supposed to be at that number because it's like over halfway and whatever. So I'm asking you way more questions about running than I had anticipated, but I have one other question that's coming to head. So I have noticed that after three kids and I just turned 40 this year that our body changes for sure.
Sure.
And one of the places I noticed that most is my knees. Mm-hmm. So, and so people are always telling me that, like, you know, buy new running shoes, buy these running shoes, do this. Do you have any opinions on that, on shoes and what the best situation is? I feel like there's so many choices right now.
Yeah, I think it's good, you know, to try the best you can. I have clients, especially since we do the online training, that, you know, they might not have a gym nearby, so they also don't have a specialty running shoe store nearby. But I think, you know, the first thing I would do is really to try to go to a specialty running shoe store. Even New Balance, so I've gone to a few New Balances, some better than others. So if they have like a device they have you stand on where it's going to look at your arch. So if they have that in the store, or if they have people that, you know, maybe you've heard that, know what they're talking about, then that could be good. But another tool I've used, and I'll have to give you the link for your show notes, but I think it's Runner's World Shoe Finder. And I think one of my clients told me that Brooks, who I actually right now run in Brooks shoes, but it's really just you have to run in what is right for your foot. But there's a few websites that have a shoe finder where you just put in a few details. So you might have to do what we call a wet test, where you like step on some water and then step on the floor to help you see your arch, some basic things, and then it will recommend a shoe for you. And that, I think, is a good way to start, you know, if you can't get to that specialty shoe store. And then because, you know, you can always buy the shoes cheaper online if you want later on, but at least you know that that fits. But then there's another actually a good, if you didn't have access to that, there's a good company I'll have to give you the link to. I think it's Roadrunner Sports, but they let you try your shoes for 90 days even if you run in them.
Gosh.
So,
wow.
Yeah,
that's
that
amazing.
That combo is good. And then you might, I mean, your question might be, I know there's a lot of like the minimalist shoes there. So I personally need more of a stability shoe just for my feet. But I have talked to physical therapists and other people, and really it will depend on your feet. So that's why talking to someone could help. And then if you do want to go the minimalist shoe route, they always say that you shouldn't just be doing that like for your first, you know, run, like just running in that shoe, you know, that whole week, because that will cause problems. You really have to, I think the guideline I've been told is about 10% of your miles. You know, for the first week, kind of slowly easing into that transition, if that's what you want to try to do. So that's really important. But even for the knees, there's all, like, I could go on, you can cut me off whenever you need to, but for the knees, there's a lot of just simple exercises. So, you know, the knees, we're putting pressure on the knees because other muscles are weak. And I've had issues, not with my knee exactly, but, my IT band, which is really common in female runners. Mm-hmm. I wish that they had told us this when I was in high school and taught me these good tips. But a lot of us will get, I know, I always have clients who have a very small resistance band that maybe came for free with like a Pilates video or something like that. So if you guys have something like that, very like, you know, thin resistance band that you can make into a circle, wrap that around your ankles, and then just little bend in your knees and like kind of a penguin walk, you know, down one way and back the other, that will help. You'll feel that in your outer thighs, which, those smaller muscles, if they're not strong enough, you're putting more strain on the other muscles and then, you know, therefore on your knees. So some of those smaller muscle group exercises are things that you want to do to take the pressure off of the knee when those are stronger. So yeah, I could send you some tips on that too. But
oh, that's awesome. I love that. And I love Brooks. I did a bunch of research when I first started myself eating vegan just on shoes, because one of my very good friends opened a vegan shoe store at the same moment. And Brooks were one of the ones that are like, you know, really sustainable and well made and yada yada. And they
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and they totally did not fit my feet. So I was like, bummer. It's funny how that works though. And I ended up with Altas, which are sort of in between. They're not like barefoot shoes, but they're not super padded.
Okay.
And so somehow they're working right now. I like that thing about not 100% of the time, because I've wondered that, like, I feel like maybe I do need two pairs of running shoes and one has more padding for just those days where you need that.
Yeah, especially when you're, if you're making the transition, because it's so much different for our feet than what we're used to.
Yeah. So I know that you work mostly with moms, but you did just mention that you wished that somebody told you something in high school. So tell us a little bit about mom, like kids, and how we can, you know, be empowering our kids so that they're not just, you know, getting annoyed at gym class, and that we're really giving them some, you know, a love for their body and for exercise. And I know you've done a little of this through yoga. Do you have any strategies around that and just empowering our kids to, you know, want to help their bodies in this way?
Right. I think so many things. So I guess the first thing is, you know, I got into fitness from my dad, who he was a runner. He was a very, very good runner. I had no idea about it, you know, until later on. He's very humble, I was daddy's girl. He'd go for runs with his friends and I wouldn't be able to play with them anymore. And I would be pretty upset. And, you know, he's like, you're not old enough yet. You're not old enough. And, you know, that made me really want to run. So that's kind of how I got into fitness. So that I tell that story. And then I used to be a classroom teacher for a few years. And, you know, what I learned from that, just like what I share with the experience of, you know, me getting into running through my dad, was that, you know, students I had would be interested in things I did. Like they heard about me running. I wrote a science question that had a certain type of apple in it that I like. And they were like, would come up to me after school, ask me about the apple. And I just found that kids really, they learn from like the example of what you do. So I think the first thing you can do is just, find things that you enjoy yourself and have, you know, by you enjoying fitness and that healthy lifestyle, your kids are going to be interested in it and want to, you know, they learn more by your actions, I guess, than what you tell them to do. Mm-hmm. So you don't always think of that, but it definitely, I've seen that, you know, like when I was teaching, I saw that. And, you know, I know from my own experience, like I wouldn't have gotten into fitness if I didn't want to be like my dad. So,
well, and I love that story too, because, well, I mean, that's like the number one thing that we teach in our programs with food is that you have to lead by example. You can't just say eat broccoli and, you know,
right,
be sneaking like lattes and bagels on the side. Like it just like they know. But but the other interesting thing that you just said, which I really love, is that your dad wouldn't let you run. And and I think that that's so huge, because I feel like we want so much for our kids, like this energy of, you know, wanting what's best for them and wanting them to do this. And so at some stages, we sometimes can want to like fast forward them. And so right. I notice all the time, you know, 10-year-olds with like, you know, ankles that are bandaged up and knees that have braces. And I feel like we like it's too much too fast. So right. I love that you're just cultivating this desire, you know, to do it when your bodies are ready, but that maybe our bodies are not the same. Like we're not ready for this same exact amount of impact and, you know, exertion and whatever at 10 as we are at 30. So
right.
That's awesome. Like, I love that your dad did that for you. That's amazing.
Yeah. But he'll always, I mean, I ran a race, a few years ago now, but there were some girls that won that were, you know, like, I think they were, I don't even know if they were 13 yet. But they were very young and they were running a half marathon. I was like, I can't believe it. He's like, yeah, but that's, you know, that's really too much, you know. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I'm still impressed by them. But
Yeah.
But
wow. And so, and tell us a little bit about yoga, which is something that that I know is really cool to add in to, even the younger kids, because it is gentle to the body.
Yeah, we started doing that. I mean, there's so many benefits of yoga. I have a blog post that the mom who actually does the yoga classes for me, Krista Kelch, she did a little blurb about like why it's good and some sample poses that the moms can go and check out. But
All right, we will put that in the show notes for sure, because that sounds
yeah,
awesome.
definitely. But I guess I didn't find yoga. I mean, I got into fitness as a runner, and then it was injuries that led me to yoga because I had an injury and I couldn't run, so I had no other choice. But right? So, but I found, because I had taken a yoga class, when I first started in fitness, more than 5 years before I took my second class, and it just, I couldn't, I'm not very flexible. It was my friend's class, and I took it because she was my friend, but I was just miserable the whole time. And then I took it again, when I kind of had to take it. And just, what I really learned from it, which I think is important to share with our kids and that they can pick up on, is just, being in tune with your body. And that whole, the whole idea of what we teach in yoga is that, keep your eye on your own mat, right? And just and do what's good for you and your body. And I think, like you were saying, where we have, this kind of very competitive spirit about sports and all these other things, but yoga is not like that. It's about doing what's best for you, treating your body with respect. I think, having that mindset, even for myself. I mean, I'm a personal trainer, but I've noticed, doing yoga, because sometimes I've made bad, health choices and things I eat and, whatever myself and don't treat my body right. But whenever I go to yoga, I just am reminded, you only have this one body. You need to treat yourself right and treat yourself with respect. And I think that's such a good message that our kids can learn. Like, we don't have to always be running around. It's important to give our mind a break, and we don't have to be comparing ourselves to everyone else, which I think, our kids can deal with that a lot through other sports and just through school in general. But yoga can be a way to to not have to enjoy your body. Do something good for your body, but not be doing, all the other stuff that can be not as fun.
Yeah, I love that. And I'll put, we'll link to that post in the show notes, and everyone can link to it, because it is amazing. And I watched the quick little demo reel you have of teaching that class, and it seems like a great class, and it's such a great opportunity for a parent and a child to sort of, do it together. I fully admit I'm a yoga head, and I use yoga as that thing that I escape from the house to do, like, it's like my
Yes.
thing. I love hot yoga, which, probably isn't right for the kids, but then sometimes I forget, I forget what a powerful thing that is. And I have three kids, and two of them are girls, and just watching what just happens, and of course we both know this from being in school and remembering from when you're 10, but when you're watching it as a mom and like seeing how self-conscious so early they get, it's
Yeah.
amazing. And having the tools to sort of be bigger than that is such a gift. So yeah, I highly recommend yoga. So I love when other people do too.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's just going back, like you said, that's why we're excited that we do it with, moms and their daughters, and it could be sons as well. But yeah, just that whole thing of, just kids, they learn from what you do more than what you say they should do. So,
Yeah, I have a very good friend who owns a bunch of yoga studios here, and in New York, and she has five kids, and she's always doing yoga just around the house, and it's cool just to watch like her kids just like, go into a stretch. And it's funny, 'cause it's quite nat a lot of what happens in yoga is quite natural. So like my youngest daughter, my guess is that she's going to be fairly athletic. And she always wakes up and like she does like back bends, and like it's just what her body needs. So it's so much of what it is, it's just very intuitive. And so just like giving yourself the space to sort of tune into that and, stretch your body. It's so cool. So this has been amazing. I hope I feel like everyone's gotten so many strategies, and we didn't talk about food, but I feel like I'm always talking about food. So the fitness part is like something I'm definitely, not the expert on, although I love it. But we are going to talk about one food, because there's one question that I ask everybody who is on this podcast. And that is about a meal in your life that stands out. And it could be because of the food, it could be because of the company, or it could just be because you had like this huge revelation, aha, when you were sitting at the table. And it could have happened last week or when you were like 5 years old. So do you have any memory of such a meal?
I have a recipe I use for like a healthy pancake recipe for breakfast in the morning that I've found, and it's kind of like passed through my family. Like my sister uses it, my mom even uses it, who I made another healthy recipe, and I didn't tell her like that they were healthy muffins and they weren't really that good. And so actually I have a memory of like being at my parents' house, and like I had the muffins that I had made, and they were like they had a lot of protein powder in them. I was trying to use up the protein powder, and like I thought, like she made this sound like I thought she was dying or something, and she just tried this muffin. So, but she's been making the pancakes. So I'll go over, and she's like, "Oh, do you want me to make those pancakes for you? Because I'm making a batch." And so I guess that's something I found, and I've just been making it a lot, and it's gone through the family, and I've just. Because as a personal trainer, I'll get up, I'll have my own clients. I've been trying to actually, I don't have super, super early clients right now, so I've been trying to work out before my clients. But then, you have a lot of like just little, I end up eating smaller meals throughout the day, not necessarily because that's what you have to do, but just for me, like it keeps my energy more even. And that pancake recipe has just, really saved me and kind of gotten me into eating breakfast more consistently, that's a good breakfast versus just grabbing like, some crackers or something. So I guess revelation would be finding something that really sustains me for more of the day than just something quick.
I love that. And I loved actually figuring out that myself that pancakes could be, healthy and filled with all this amazing stuff and protein actually. So I don't know what protein, if yours have protein in it, but there's just so many great options for that. And for kids, I sometimes send pancakes. My kids, two of my kids have to be gluten-free. And so we have this pancake recipe and sometimes I use it instead of bread for sandwiches for school because there's not very many good gluten-free breads, but I know how to make pancakes. So I love that. I love that. And it's so anti-intuitive that pancakes could be that great thing, which is
It's
cool.
true.
So I love that. So thank you so much. Will you tell our listeners a little bit about where they can find you?
Of course. So, and this has been really fun. So thank you for again for having me. But they can find me. So our website is fitarmadillo.com. So it's FitArmadillo.com, all one word. But then, and they, if you go to the contact form there, they could email me, or info@fitarmadillo.com is a good way to get in touch. But then also we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at fitarmadillo, all one word, or facebook.com/fitarmadillo as one word. And we always are posting, tips, new things. Since I have the team of trainers, I have a lot of great, fun little, things that they share as well. So it's not just my advice and my favorite exercises anymore. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. And I love that you're empowering all these trainers because it's so cool. Such a cool model.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your time. I hope everyone goes and connects with Catherine. And actually, I hope to have her live in our membership site someday soon. So there's a chance that you'll get to see her over at Plan Simple Meals too. So thank you, everyone. I hope you have an amazing and healthy and maybe sprinkle a little exercise in there kind of day. And we will see you very soon. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.